are consistent with the Constitution of the United States.
Representative Clem, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Joint Resolution 5 and ask you for your aye vote. While the name of this bill is Sovereign Authority Against Federal Action, I like to refer to it as a checks and balances bill. Despite the clear language of the U.S. Constitution limiting the power of the federal government, Wyoming often ends up in the crosshairs of federal bureaucratic rules and regulations. And such has been the case with federal intrusions regarding Wyoming's management of coal and water rights. And that, I think this body would agree. So what is the recourse in the light of such trespasses? We know about checks and balances and rely heavily upon judicial review. Not only are checks and balances found in our co-equal branches of government, the states also were designed to serve as a check against the federal government. And even though this has eroded over the years, it is still true. This bill seeks to embed in our Wyoming Constitution a simple but powerful mechanism to push back against the federal government. Under this amendment, when our elected state representatives determine that the federal government has overstepped its constitutional boundaries, it will stop the use of state money and personnel to further those objectives. Will it stop Congress from passing bad laws or prevent federal bureaucrats from making unconstitutional rules and regulations? No. But it will at least allow us to make them pay for these things out of their own budgets. Take, for instance, the power plan, and I won't name it directly. While the Supreme Court has issued a stay on this regulation, uncertainty exists until it is settled in court. Why should we be forced to commit state funding and resources for the enforcement of a federal action, particularly an action that is destroying our industry and hurting our economy? Under this amendment, if this body agreed that the regulation is unconstitutional overreach, it could prohibit the use of state funds and personnel in enforcing the regulation. This would allow Wyomingites to use our state funds to support our priorities as we determine them. And I would ask you for your aye vote.
Time. Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Well organized here. Representative Blake, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In this time of budget crunching, we're going to spend $52,000, I believe, is the fiscal note. And there's a lot of other senior centers and other things that could sure use $52,000. And to me, it's kind of a symbolic gesture. So I would ask you to vote no.
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Representative Clem, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under this amendment, when our elected state representatives determine that the federal government has overstepped its constitutional boundaries, it will stop the use of state money and personnel to further those objectives. This means that the federal government will have to use federal money and resources, not state money and resources, to achieve its objectives. This will allow Wyomingites to use our state funds to support our priorities as we determine them, not some faraway federal official how they want them to be used. So we could put an end to federal coercion over our tax dollars. Thank you.
We're voting on introduction of House Joint Resolution 5. A two-thirds majority of votes required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Greer, excused, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, excused, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Paxton, Helke, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters. Excused. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 15 no, 4 excused.
House Joint Resolution 5 has passed the House and is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 101 from Representative Dan Zwanzer, an act relating to public depositories.
Representative Zwanzer, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pleased to present House Bill 101. This is a cleanup bill that's been about 20 years in the making. The bill amends Wyoming the public deposit statutes to conform with our banking statutes, which at a very basic level allows for state banks incorporated out of our state to incorporate and branch into Wyoming. They've been able to do this since 1994 under federal statute, although it's been against our state statutes, so we've been out of compliance for about 20 years. Our depository statutes require our state banks to be incorporated in Wyoming, but since 1994, and we had a federal act called Regal-Neal, it basically said that your state laws can't be discriminatory and you have to treat all your banks equally. So this trumps that incorporation. It amends our laws to conform with the federal law and our existing state laws. It's brought to you by that association that deals with banks in all of your communities. We've run it by the state agencies and our executive branch, our state treasurer's office, and we do agree it's time to clean up these statutes after about 20 years. I'd be happy to answer any questions or ask you to vote yes on 101.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, we're voting on introduction of House Bill 101. Two-thirds majority vote is required for introduction. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Greer excused, Greer aye, Halverson, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters excused, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 101 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103. Do I have to say something?
House Bill 103 from Representative Laux, an act relating to the legislature.
First reading of the bill.
Madam Chairman, I would like to move House Bill 103 and ask for your favorable consideration. What House Bill 103 does is add a new paragraph, Romanet 7, to 288105 under duties of the directors of staff. It places in the statute language that specifies that all joint interim committee, select committee, and other meetings with a public forum be recorded, audible only, and for the recording of the meetings to be placed on the legislative website so that the public may have access to these recordings. It also has language in it that exempts any portion of a meeting that is conducted in executive session by the rules that follows. It also adds a subsection D to 288116, which basically states that we as legislators know that when we're in those meetings that they are being recorded and it will go on record. As we all know, so much of the hard work is done in the interim committee meetings, and so much of that information is so valuable. And I know our staff does a great job of trying to take care of that and make sure everything's there, but I just like to see the statute. It's important. We owe it to the citizenry to make all dialogue during these important meetings to be available and easily accessible to all, and our continued efforts to be as transparent as we possibly can be. I respectfully ask for all you to vote aye on this, for this is a very important piece of legislation. Thank you very much. I'll entertain any questions.
Would anyone like to speak in opposition to House Bill 103? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. I think the bringer's heart's probably in the right place. I don't have any quarrel with the philosophy of the bill. However, there's a huge archiving burden here. There's a huge storage burden here. There's a huge custodial burden here. And my question to the bringer would be, and I don't see it in this bill, what provision has been made for what's going to be terabytes worth of information that has to be stored and has to fall under someone's custody and has to be secured from corruption or other damage to the record?
Any further opposition? Chairman Madden, you have a brief amount of time.
Just to add to what the speaker just said, on the back you'll see a fiscal note says no significant fiscal or personnel impact, and I think I need to be shown that. You know, it just seems like if we were doing all that, it's got to cost something.
Representative Laux, 30-second rebuttal.
Yes, sir. I mean, that was a question that we dealt with the staff on this, and that's why they asked if it was any of this would have to be reviewed. They said no, that it would not be any cost, and it wouldn't be a burden to our staff at all, and they addressed that very clearly. So if you'll note, there is no fiscal note on that. Thank you very much.
The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Helke,
no.
Petroff, Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers, Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters, excused, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 34 aye, 24 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 103 has failed. Introduction in the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 111. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 111 from Representative Throne, an act relating to labor and employment.
Representative Throne, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Although the title of this bill is Wage Transparency, it really should have been called Wage Free Speech. Essentially, what the bill does is prohibit employers, as part of our standard unfair labor practices, from prohibiting employees from discussing their wages. It doesn't require employees to discuss their wages, but if somebody wants to discuss how much money they make with a coworker, they're free to do it. So I really think it's, in many respects, a free speech situation. But I think it's also important to note that in Wyoming, we have a constitutional provision that doesn't get a lot of attention, but it's Section 23 of Article 1 that talks about the right to earn your own labor, that what you work for is yours. And I think you should be able to speak about it if you want to. Finally, it's also important to know that Wyoming, of course, is a right-to-work state, so I think it's sort of ironic that you have the right to work, but you don't have the right to speak about what you earn from that work without risking losing your job. So that's what the bill does. Again, it just fits into our standard unfair employment practices with the remedies that are part of the existing statute.
Is there anyone that wishes to speak in opposition? Representative Halverson, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. Do we have anything on in the statute books currently that prohibits employees from discussing? I was unclear on that point, and I apologize.
Representative Steinmetz, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. If this is kind of a contractual thing between an employer and employee, do we have the right to intrude on that?
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Madam Minority Floor Leader, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wyoming is an at-will state, and as an at-will state, you can be fired for any non-discriminatory reason. You can be fired for practically anything unless you happen to have a contract. But I think the bill would prohibit contracting away the right to talk about your free speech. But most of our employees in Wyoming are at will.
We're voting on introduction of House Bill 111. Two-thirds majority votes required for introduction. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kinner,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Krohn,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters excused, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn, no to aye. Pieperinen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 38 no, 2 excused.
I gave the minority floor leader the opportunity to announce the demise of her own bill, and she declined. So I would declare that House Bill 111 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 114 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to the Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities Program.
Representative Connolly, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move HB 114 and ask for your favorable introductory vote. What this bill does is updates, modifies, and conforms our statutes regarding the Personal Opportunities with Employment Responsibilities Act, a federal program that is administered by our Department of Family Services. DFS is charged not only with administering these programs, but with helping our citizens get off of power through economic self-sufficiency. This bill does three things that are necessary. First, it changes the language of immediately to 10 calendar days so that it is reasonable and conforming. The number of vehicles that an individual can own from 1 to 2, that's a Wyoming fix. And number three, the ability for someone to have $5,000 in a savings account rather than $2,500. Friends, as you remember, we passed this 57-2 on our body last year, and it didn't make it on the other side. So I would ask for your favorable vote again.
Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker, aye. Baldwin, aye. Barlow, aye. Berger, aye. Blackburn, aye. Blake, aye. Burkhart, aye. Bird, aye. Campbell, aye. Kennedy, aye. Clem, aye. Connolly, aye. Dayton, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Eklund, aye. Esquivel, aye. Freeman, aye. Gay, excused, Greer, aye. Halverson, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, Hunt, aye. Yagi, aye. Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, aye. Kirkbride, aye. Croker, aye. Croker, aye. Crone, aye. Larson Lloyd, aye. Larson Dan, aye. Lindholm, aye. Lockhart, aye. Laux, aye. Madden, nope. McKim, aye. Miller, nope. Moniz, aye. Nicholas, aye. Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters excused, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Laux, aye to no. Miller, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 114 has passed the House and is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill
105.
The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 105 from Representative Throne, an act relating to welfare.
Representative Throne, Madam Minority Floor Leader, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Getting used to this mic. ABLE legislation is an important bill that we need to pass for those in our community who are developmentally disabled. The federal government has provided for tax-deferred savings related to the expenses for a disabled individual. It's part of the IRS code, Section 529. For those of you who are familiar with the college savings plans, it's a similar concept. And as with that concept, it's limited to qualified disability expenses, so you can't just build up this pot of money and spend it on anything, and that would include education, housing, transportation, employment, training and support, technology, personal support services, etc. As with 529s, there's a tax penalty if you remove the money. Also, it's important that we pass something in state law to provide for Medicaid recovery. When the disabled person passes away, if there are outstanding Medicaid charges, those can be recovered from the estate. And also to prohibit the savings money being used for means testing. So it's an important piece of legislation. It enjoys wide support. It just happened that I was the first one who jumped on it, but I know a number of people here were interested in being the prime sponsor of this bill, and I'd appreciate your support.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Representative Halverson, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, just one question. I appreciate that unpaid Medicaid expenses or outstanding Medicaid expenses can be recovered from the estate. But I've also heard, and I would appreciate some clarification on this point, do all assets left in the trust revert to the state or not, is my question. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Madam Minority Floor Leader, 30 seconds.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would probably have to double-check that, but I do believe that any Medicaid expenses can be recovered from the estate. But if you approve introduction, we can work through some of those issues.
We're voting on introduction of House Bill 105. A two-thirds majority votes required for introduction. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Gagey.
Aye.
Jennings. Jennings,
no.
Kasparik, Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell, Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stebson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters excused, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 105 has been introduced and is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 110 from Representative Gay, an act relating to public health.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. I'm going to do my best to pinch hit House Bill 110 on the fly. Ladies and gentlemen, this is cannabidiol medication. It was a bill introduced last year that came to the Corporations Committee and failed by one vote. What you'll see this does is it allows for the use of cannabidiol or possession as specified. This is a medication that's derived from the hemp plant, but it doesn't contain any tetrahydrocannabinol, right? These are the fun words we have to use in corporations. But it does have the same active ingredients that we passed last year in the epilepsy bill. But as long as it doesn't have any psychoactive substances or THC, we're going to allow it. We are going to put supervisions on it. You have to be registered, have to be 18, have to prove your residency, and have to be have a prescription from a licensed doctor in Wyoming that says you have an issue that would require cannabidiol for treatment in some way, shape, or form. This does have a small financial increase for the people of Wyoming and the government, you'll see on the fiscal note. And so I'd be happy to try to answer any questions I could, but would ask you to vote in favor of the bill today and have a better presentation than I can do in a committee on the importance, because the research out there does show that this medication can help people with certain ailments.
Would anyone like to speak in opposition to the bill? Seeing none, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Bird. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay excused. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Yagi. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparic. Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Nicholas, would you confirm your vote, please? Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Pipirinen. Pinnell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters excused. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Reeder, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Kennedy, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 28 aye, 30 no, 2 excused.
Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 110 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 116. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 116 from Representative Wilson, an act relating to public health.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move House Bill... I really did move the bill. I move House Bill 116 for introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. Brothers and sisters, this bill is the result of some interim work by members of the Labor Committee. We were assigned at the end of last session to look at access to primary care along with uncompensated hospital care, a small topic. We did hear that last year the body was not interested in a one-size-fits-all plan put together by the feds. So what we have developed instead is a grant program that encourages our Wyoming people to develop an approach specific to their own communities. So in this bill, providers, teachers, law enforcement, businesses, and other community members would get together to evaluate the specific healthcare needs of the low-income members of their own community. They would evaluate their own resources, identify the gaps, and come up with a plan to improve access and reduce uncompensated care. So this bill is not designed to pay providers directly, but rather to encourage better processes, to enable rural communities to use things like telehealth kiosks or medication hotlines, whatever they need to fill in the gaps and keep people out of the ER. The communities would also have to identify ways to measure the outcomes of their approach so that we would not be funding things that didn't work. So this is not a bill with a lot of money for everyone. It reminded me more of the story of the little boy with two fish and five barley loaves. So I would ask you to use these two fish and five barley loaves to help prompt creative approaches in our Wyoming communities. And I would appreciate an aye vote and stand for any questions.
Is there any opposition? Representative Halverson.
Just a question, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Where is the money coming from?
Any other opposition? Any or questions? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I very much appreciate all the work JAC has done, and so I have no intention of adding to their burden. I will tell you, quite frankly, I have my eye on a little pot in the budget that I think would be better spent on this program, and I would even only take half of it. So I would have no intention of increasing the cost of the state. And to be totally honest and giving away part of my plan, I really think even if some of the money were taken out, to have this program in statute so that communities could start aiming toward what we say we want, I think even that will be beneficial.
Time. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay excused. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparic. Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Piperinen. Pinnell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters excused. Wilson. Winters. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 25 no, 2 excused.
Having failed to receive an affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 116 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 118.
House Bill 118 from Representative Throne, an act relating to children.
You've heard the introduction of the bill. What is your pleasure, Madam Minority Floor Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. House Bill 118 brings some necessary and needed changes to our foster care program. These requirements are part of our federal requirements, but that's really not my reason for bringing the bill. The reason for bringing the bill in a budget session is because I think these are important changes that would improve the lives of children in foster care. And the bill has two parts. The first is providing for the reasonable and prudent parent standard. And the purpose of this standard is to allow children in foster care to do those normal things that other kids do, sleepovers, participate in extracurricular activities, by allowing the foster care parent to basically make those decisions under a reasonable and prudent parent standard if there's an outstanding court order or something of the like that prohibits that. Of course, then this won't go into effect. But for a lot of foster kids, this would make their lives more like a normal child by allowing their foster care parent to be a reasonable parent. The second part of the bill allows alternative permanency plans, and this, although the bill is not clear at this point, for older children, so that like a child 16 and older who is not going to be able to reunify with their parent, that you can do an alternate plan. And again, these are federal requirements that we'll have to adopt at some point, but the reason I bring the bill this year is because I think both of those policy objectives are really important for kids in foster care.
Any opposition to the bill? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not necessarily opposed to this bill. I just wonder for the bringer of the bill, what kind of impact this would have to service agencies, for instance, crisis shelters, group homes, even residential treatment centers. What impact would it have on them? If that could be answered, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Anyone, any other opposition to the bill? Any other? Okay, 30 seconds, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
I appreciate the question, and I think that's something we'll have to consider. That issue was just brought to me right literally before I came up here. But I think, you know, again, it's a laudable policy goal, and it should make foster care easier and work better for the children in foster care. That's the intent.
The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen. Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Flake, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Harvey, aye. Hunt, aye. Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters excused, Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
I
am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 118 has been introduced and it is assigned to Committee number 10. The next bill and final bill for our consideration is House Bill 99.
House Bill 99 from Representative Larson, an act relating to administration of government.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring to the floor House Bill 99, Article 5, Convention Limitations. It is often called the Delegate Limitation Act. This is the same bill I carried last year. It passed on third reading, 44-15. In the end, it came out of the Joint Conference Committee, and we could not agree on the changes, so we'll try it again. The only part that I changed from the Joint Conference Committee is on page 5, where I changed the paragraph G, which states, the members of the Senate shall elect 3 members of the Senate to serve as delegates, and the members of the House shall elect 3 members of the House to serve as delegates. The President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House shall assign alternates if necessary. The bill still contains the section mandating the delegate can only remain at the convention if the rule is each state has one vote. Also, it is a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 5 years and a fine of not more than $10,000 if the delegate violates the oath contained in the bill. With that, I will conclude and ask for your favorable vote.
Would anyone like to speak in opposition to House Bill 99? Any opposition? Seeing none, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Campbell,
Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay excused. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey, no. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Pelkey. No.
Petroff. Piperinen.
No.
Pennell. Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters excused. Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 23 no, 2 excused.
Having failed to receive an affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 99 has failed introduction. And actually, I stand corrected. We do have one more bill. The final bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to local government funding.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Minority Floor Leader. House Bill 51 is, as I mentioned, is a mere introduction on both sides. So, talking to our attorneys, and we might as well go ahead and introduce that, and we'll kind of decide. I think we'll keep working it as well. But it's the $90 million that was requested. It's from the LSRA. And in this bill has a traditional funding formula that we've used the last several years. We debated funding formulas in our committee, and in the end, the will of the committee was to send it to the floor and let the floor debate the funding formulas. And I know revenue committees worked on some and those things, so we didn't really take a position on that, but the idea was to get the $90 million out to the floor from the LSRA so you could debate it. So I'd stand for any questions.
Would anyone like to speak in opposition to House Bill 51? Seeing none, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters excused, Wilson,
aye.
Winters, Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 51, having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the elected members, House Bill number 51 it has been introduced and is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been asked to announce if anybody's holding any bill jackets out there, the clerk would appreciate it if you get them in as soon as possible. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 35, Referendum Circulator Payment, Ayes 10, Noes 20. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 101. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 42, Occupational Therapy Practice Act, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 9, Tribal License Plates, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Conley, Harshman, Moniz, and Nicholas. Those who voted no, Burkhart, Greer, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 10, Clean Water Revolving Fund Amendments, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 28, Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 41, the Omnibus Water Bill Construction, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 46, Investment of Workers' Compensation Account, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 19, Statewide Student Assessment, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Northrop, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 36, Livestock Dealers, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yagi, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 31, Uniform Securities Act, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan's one answer, one no, Representative Edwards, one excuse, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Dan's one answer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 59, Health Care Statutory Compliance, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Baldwin, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 60, State Health Facility Missions, Statutory Compliance, respectfully reports saying back to the House that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 31, the Uniform Securities Act, to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, it's re-referred. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill number 19 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, so referred. Representative Kasparik.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 11, Energy Producing States Coalition Extension, to committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, so referred. Any other re-referrals? We're now on that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 113. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 113 from Education, an act relating to public records.
House Bill 113, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 55 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to the Nurse Licensure Compact.
House Bill 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56.
House Bill 56 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Compact.
House Bill 56, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the Committee of the Whole, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for us to consider the following bills. House Bill 66, 32, 38, 2, 67, 8, and 16. I am not adding any more bills at the moment to the GF.
Yes, I'll leave it to the chairperson to sort that out. You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Chairman Northrup.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill, House Bill 66, is the first bill for your consideration. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 66 from Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicles specifying that a written statement of eligibility is not required for renewal of retired firefighters' license plates and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 66, Retired Firefighters' License Plates Renewal, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye are Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill number 66 and ask for favorable consideration and would ask to send the explanation of the bill over to Representative Lake. And actually, I should give the proper format on that, shouldn't I? I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation House Bill 66 do pass and turn the explanation over to Representative Blake.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 66, members of the 63rd. There was a little confusion when we introduced this. There were some people who thought this is a new plate. It is not a new plate. If you've served 10 years in a firefighting, whether it's a volunteer, you can retain your firefighter plate as a retired firefighter. The rub is, after a while, the new chief might take over that firefighter service, and every year you have to go in and prove that you were a firefighter. And all I'm asking to do is to, after you go in and prove you were a retired firefighter with 10 years service, you only have to go in and prove that one time, then you can keep renewing that retired firefighter plate. So I just ask you to vote for it and would stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the bill? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hey, just a couple of questions. I just want to know how this works. If you move from county to county, or if you leave the state and come back to the state, because right now, if you're going to renew the plate, you have to have the proof that you were a retired firefighter. And I understand getting rid of that hassle, but there are some circumstances where you might leave the state for a couple of years and then come back. Is that you start the process over? Did you think through that and just help me with that just a little bit?
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, didn't really think that one through. I would think if you left for a couple of years, you would have new plates, and that firefighter plate would go not renewed for a couple of years. So then you would have to start the process all over again. So that's what I would say to that one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of House Bill 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 66 having passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32 from Corporations. An act relating to insurance regulation, extending specified insurance regulations to health maintenance organizations and fraternal benefit societies, establishing an exclusion from voucher requirements for health maintenance organizations, and providing parity for insurers previously granted an exclusion, and providing for effective dates. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 32, Insurance Regulation Parity, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, when excused, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 32 do pass. It does have a standing committee amendment. Maybe I can take that out of the way right now. If you look at page 3 of the bill, you'll see we amended the voucher disbursement from $25 up to $250. We hadn't changed this section in over 40 years, and so they originally thought that would be a fair assessment. We went back and gathered more information and found out that the IRS federal requirements are only $75. So at this time, I'd like to move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 32 and ask for its favorable introduction. It takes the two voucher costs on page 3 and page 5 from $250 back down to $75, which meets the current federal IRS requirements. I'd be happy to answer any questions on that if anyone would like some.
Question being called. You've heard the motion. All those in favor of the motion, a standing committee amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So last year, we had Wyoming's one HMO come and to our committee and wanted equal treatment under our laws to have more favorable and, I guess, equal treatment from the department. And many of you know that our one HMO is currently being liquidated and is no longer around. So the bill may not apply as much, but if we do get another HMO into the state, certainly this will put it on a better footing of parity with, you know, usual current indemnities. Walking through the bill quickly, most of the language is on page 2. We are applying the Wyman Insurance Company Holding Regulatory Act to HMOs. Currently, only the acquisition part of that act applies. There in Romanet C, we are applying those same portions from the Insurance Holding Company Regulatory Act in Title 26 that are effective. You're also going to apply those to domestic HMOs should we get another one. Originally, we had this section to take effect after January 1st, 2017 to prepare for that HMO, although it's now being liquidated. I talked about voucher disbursements. Maybe just on page 3 and 4 there, we're going through reports that says HMOs have to comply with the same audits as every other insurance company. Moving on to page 4, it's the same requirements we put on HMOs to say if they have any hazardous conditions to inform the department so they can better understand the structure. And if red flags start going up, which they did this year, the department can better investigate and take the appropriate remedies. Moving on through all the other sections in 106 and 107, it's just creating parity between HMOs across the board, all the way through page 5 in Romanet C. Same thing on page 5, under 2634-109, it's grace period. That's consistent with all other insurers. On to page 6, page 7, it basically just puts HMOs on equal footing with all of our other insurers in the state. The bill becomes effective immediately, but again, the structures don't take place until after January 1st, 2017, if we get an HMO that moves into Wyoming. If anybody has any questions on any of the other statutory references, I have them all laid out and would be happy to talk insurance law, but otherwise I would call for the question at this time.
Any discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Swanson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 32 do pass, say aye. House Bill number 32 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration will be House Bill 38. Reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38 from Judiciary, an act relating to offenses against property, modifying requisite property values for offenses as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 38, property offenses, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, Winters. One no vote, Representative Crone, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 38 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. For the explanation of the bill, we're going to have the fine representative from the county west of us explain the bill, explain the amendment, and then call for the vote on the amendment at the proper time.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The
The bill is part of the ongoing interim work that we had this year on sentence reform. The prime motivation behind this bill is to relieve a bit of pressure from the facilities that we have for incarceration around the state, particularly one in Lusk. The last time that the demarcation between misdemeanor and felony was changed in Wyoming was in 2004, raising it from $500 to $1,000. This bill raised that figure from $1,000 to $2,500. But on consideration, the committee reduced that amount to $2,000. We are looking at raising level, like I said, from $1,000 to $2,000. That'll relieve some of the pressure of charging defendants with felony offenses. And perhaps if you take a look at the fiscal note, it's going to be difficult to glean the exact impact. But the cost of housing a felon for a year in this state is substantial, approximately $45,625 a year. Community supervision is an alternative at approximately $2,000. So I respectfully ask this body to support this measure and give an affirmative vote. Give an affirmative vote to the amendment first off, and then consider the bill after that.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Thank you. Representative Clem, would you like to discuss it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'm on and against this amendment. I think the $2,500 is more appropriate. It just seems that $2,000 is still a very low number when we're considering a felony. Considering technology today and some of the technological devices that we have, and boy, that number can rack up real, real quick. And so I would urge the body to not adopt this amendment and leave it at $2,500. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Yep. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to echo the last speaker's opposition to the amendment. I think that $2,500 is more realistic, and if you look at the cost of anything that can be damaged, broken, or replaced or taken, it doesn't take much to get to $2,500. So I'd encourage us to vote the amendment down and stick with the $2,500.
Speaker Brown.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment, I also favor $2,500, especially when you consider the argument that the whole purpose of this is to raise it enough that there's no pressure to charge a felony, to keep it as a misdemeanor. So we're talking about the trade-off between when they get charged as a felony, when they're charged as a misdemeanor. And if we're going to charge them as a misdemeanor, we need to have enough of a fine, a high enough fine in there that the county attorney, in the most extreme cases, can say, okay, that's a sufficient penalty. So on and against the amendment, I think it ought to stay at $2,500.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We debated between the actual inflation rate, which would have been about $1,300, and the $2,500. And we settled on the $2,000. Now, there's an unintended consequence that other states have seen by raising it too much, and that was a huge increase in property crimes. California, for example, another state on the West Coast, raised theirs to $5,000. Several other states have raised it to $5,000, and they found property crimes increasing with impunity, with people calculating just below the $5,000 rate. So we thought $2,000 was a really good compromise, and I urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, we received a lot of discussion in our committee meetings about this, and yes, it did start at $5,000, but one of the issues, just to provide a little bit of history, This was last changed in the year 2004. It was changed from $500 to $1,000. But just to look at the purchasing power parity from 2004 to right now, what's happened is the dollar is only increased. $1,000 basically right now is worth around $1,300 and just a little over $1,300. And so when you look at this, when we move it to 2,000, I think that we're not necessary. We've gone way beyond what is actually necessary. We heard a lot of discussion that 2,000 may actually be just slightly too high for many of those people involved. So I'd rather stay at 2,000 than 2,500.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just point out that $5,000 is a far cry from $2,500. Furthermore, that little device that everybody has, a cell phone, those things run, what, $500, $600 each? If someone was upset or angry, I don't know, and destroyed five of those things or just four of those things, that would be a pretty substantial crime. But we're talking about five of those devices being destroyed, and it would be considered a felony. Again, if the point is to reduce the amount of felonies, I guess, that we have, it would seem more logical that we would increase that rate. And again, I know there's been discussion about, you know, the inflation rate. However, you can't just take into consideration the inflation rate. You also have to consider the development in technology and how expensive some of these technological devices are today and what exactly may be damaged. So, again, on and against the amendment.
Representative Drone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to begin with the premise that the entire purpose of the bill is to reduce the prison population. I think that instead of looking at it that way, and I know that there's folks that believe that and that believe that that's the intention of this bill, but I think that at the same time we have to balance the idea of what's accountability and what's appropriate. And when you look at some of the crimes that are listed in this, property crimes, one of them is shoplifting. So if you go into a mega store, if you begin with what the bill started with during the interim session, $5,000, that's a lot of shoplifting. I think that the discussion that we had was what's appropriate, what's fair, and we didn't think $5,000 was fair. We didn't think $2,500 was necessarily fair. But if you look at the last time this was raised, 2004, $2,000 is a pretty good compromise, and it's a pretty good position to be in. And I think that this figure still holds people, offenders, accountable. It still provides discretion for prosecutors, and I really think that this is a number that, moving forward, if this bill is going to pass, is more appropriate than the $2,500 level. So I would urge support of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the argument that the previous fine was at $1,000 and that the rate increase to $2,000 is excessive, but I would argue that probably that $1,000 limit that we used at previously was not where it should have been, that it was probably low. And so I would once again urge us to make a corrective adjustment and keep it at the $2,500.
Chairman Miller.
Just, Mr. Chairman, just some more information. I think the $1,000 came in place and 2004. I think some of the numbers were $500 before that. Again, we had an extensive discussion in committee. We looked at $1,500. And the bill was $2,500. We kind of settled for $2,000. I'm not going to tell you to vote for the amendment or against the amendment because it's a policy decision, and it's this body that determines that policy. And with that, I'll call for the question on the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called. You've heard the motion. Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment fails. We're back on the bill. Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, it is a fairly substantial jump when you merely look at this as a recalculation of according to the cost of living index, but there's a far more important step in this. This is part of some of the sentence reform work that we did in judiciary in the interim, and I would urge folks to consider the impact on the state and on individuals for charging felonies at such a low level, and I would urge you to vote in support of this bill.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises report, do so with recommendation that Bill number 38 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The bill has passed. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles, specifying that a decal for a plug-in electric vehicle is required annually, providing applicability and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 2, Electric Vehicle Decal, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kenner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that House Bill number 2 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment. And ladies and gentlemen, what this deals with is a decal on all electric plug-in cars, and I think we'll get the standing committee amendment out of the way first. If you look on page 2 of the bill, on line number 1, we inserted the words registered and licensed, and that's to make it clear that golf carts and I don't know what else we talked about, scooters or something, that we're not counting them. These are licensed and registered electric vehicles for the use on the roads. But anyway, just to give you a very brief, I don't want to take a lot of time on this. It's, what happened was in last year, we had a bill dealing with alternative fuels, and it was an all-encompassing alternative fuels bill that covered compressed natural gas, liquefied natural gas, propane, and on, and also electric cars. All the rest of the alternative fuels have a way of metering the use of fuel, and the idea was in that bill to convert everything to a gasoline or diesel equivalent, so we were taxing it fairly. When we wanted to tax electric vehicles fairly, we came to kind of an impasse, just like all the rest of the states in the country have found. And that is these plug-in charged cars are charged out of an outlet in your own garage. And so there's no way to meter that in a practical sense. So other states, just like us, have adopted just an annual sticker that's in lieu of a fuel tax because of the difficulty I just described. What we did a year ago was that we put in section 30, or I should say title 31, we inserted the electric vehicle decal under miscellaneous fees. And a lot of these fees are kind of one-time or one-event-time fees. And we forgot to put the word annual in there. And it was clearly intended by the committee, and it was intended by the legislature that it was going to be an annual fee. Lawyers that work for us in the state discovered that and said, well, you know, we could fix this maybe through the revisor's bill, but the proper way probably was just to be to run it through the committee process. So that's what I'd elected to do, just to be open about it. And that's the extent of it. It's a one-word bill, if you will. So I urge your support, and if there's any questions, I'll answer them.
We're on the standing committee amendment. Any discussion?
Sorry.
Any discussion on the standing committee amendment? Thank you. Question being called. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Thank you. Any discussion on the bill? Question being called. On the all those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when a committee of the whole rises report, do so with the recommendation that bill number 2 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. House Bill number 2 is passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
You'll get there.
House Bill 67 from Representative Edwards, an act relating to taxation and revenue, revising the sales tax exemption for meals provided by senior centers as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 67, Senior Center Meals Sales Tax Exemption, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move it when the committee of the whole rises to report and do so with the recommendation that bill number 67 do pass. And to explain the bill and discuss it would be the legislator from House District 53.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you. This amendment will affect Section 1 Wyoming Statute 39-15-105B. If you'll turn on your pages over to page 2, it'll be line 14 and 15, deleting the word persons and inserting the word senior citizens, guests of seniors, and meals delivered to the homebound. This was inserted to narrow down those that would be able to eat there. These would be the ones that would not be charged sales tax. They are not charged sales tax now. The total amount that they would be gathering statewide would be in the neighborhood of $6,000. There is no other state that charges sales tax in senior centers. And this will also include homebound delivered meals. There was a problem in a neighborhood west of us that had a gentleman that came in, a couple gentlemen that came in and ate there, and the restaurant owner had a problem and brought this to us. So I've narrowed it down on the bill to, so there is not a likelihood of more people coming in to eat there that would not be an open restaurant, as most of them are. We had some restaurants that were going to give us a paper saying that they were totally for it, but we've been moving so fast they didn't get it done. So I cannot produce those for you. With the definition that we have here, like I said, it would not raise more than $6,000, narrowing the guests down, which would be the guests of the seniors that would show up, that would be under the age of 60 years old or less. All those that are 60 years older and older do not have to pay sales tax now. Those that are serving the meals, we have organizations that will come in and give donations, and they will serve the meals, which is a donation by companies that come in, and they will bring in their own people to serve the seniors and to eat with them. They are on a limited amount of money that they can give, and there is a possibility that they would lose those. There is one organization in the state that said it would cost them $5,000 for them to have their bookkeeper take care of this. So the $6,000 that they would gain for the state would be lost in practically in one company. I would bring you House Bill 67. I hope that you will do pass.
Discussion on the bill. Representative Freeman.
Thank you. I
I hope that we have strong support for this bill. This is what your senior citizen centers need to remain whole. As the bringer of the bill correctly stated is that right now there is no sales tax that is being collected. For them to collect sales tax, they'd have to buy a license. Then they would have to monitor it. They would have to set up separate books to hold on there. And the speaker is absolutely right. We would lose any kind of money that we would gain from that. The day that the Department of Revenue came up with this, the letter that said that there's a possibility of collecting sales tax on people that came in that were not under 55, I believe the number is, the board members of the senior center came and each gave me their letter, and I got a collection of five, if you want it. But I looked around, and there was probably 60 people getting lunch that day. And there was a couple grandkids that came and had lunch with their grandparents. There was a couple people my age that were bringing their mothers, probably under, I qualify, unfortunately. But anyway, they were bringing their parents to where that they could be at the senior centers. A lot of these people, this is the best meal that they get. This is just something that we should legislate away to where that the seniors can do the good work that they have done for a long time. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number 67 do pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 67 has passed. The next bill for consideration will be House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 8 from Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation and revenue, revising the authority of the Department of Revenue to adopt rules related to the appraisal methods of county assessors, repealing related provisions accordingly and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, in Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 8, Property Assessment Test Rules, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that are due pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 8 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And the amendment simply changes the effective date to immediately from July 31, the reason being if this bill passes, it materially changes the work that assessors have to do between now and July 1. So that's the logic there. I call for the question on the effective date.
Discussion on amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment is passed. We're back on the bill.
Okay, thank you. As I so eloquently explained during the introduction, this bill came to me from a group of people that are involved in the assessment business, and it's a reflection of what happened about 5 or 6 years ago with another bill we had in the legislature that evolved into a task force where we changed a lot of the processes for assessment and property owner rights and so forth. Of all the things that we did, the only thing that wasn't excellently done was the section that you see here, which is kind of a partial repeal of what we did that year, a very small part of it, in fact. And what we did is we thought it would be nice for all the assessors to have a have a narrative, a written narrative of how all properties were assessed among all classes of property in all neighborhoods and all substrata and stuff like that. And it turned out that as we tested it over a four-year period, it turned out nobody ever looked at those. When somebody comes in and wants to know about their taxes during that 30-day or if they want to know about their assessed value during that 30-day appeal window, they just ask, how did you do mine? I don't care about this 2-inch document. It's going to save a lot of taxpayers' money if this passes, and I just urge your support.
Discussion on the bill. I see you. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just got a couple questions about it. Some of the language that's taken out takes away the requirement for the assessors to, and I've got kind of a line item, so perhaps the good bringer could explain this to me. It says under the current provisions that the requires promulgation of rules that require the county assessors to explain the fairness of the evaluation process and then the computerized programs that are submitted. And so basically we're eliminating their requirement to explain why the current data system that they're using is fair, and also the adequacy of whether or not there are arm's length transactions, and also whether or not the assessment that is made through on the residential methodology or how they got there in order to find a fair market value. In other words, what it looks to me like, mm-hmm. all you're doing is saying we're taking out the rule requirement that explains the fairness of the statistical strata that they are using. So if I want to challenge it, if I want to challenge how they came up through the computer model or how mm-hmm. they reached a certain assessment, without knowing this information, then it makes it much more difficult for me, either as a lawyer representing a client or as a homeowner, mm-hmm. to understand and rebut the mm-hmm. ultimate calculations on how they came up with residential valuation. So maybe I'm just reading this wrong, but could you just explain that to me so I can know that I'm voting for the right thing?
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if you look at what is left that hasn't been crossed out in the first part of page 2, it kind of helps. It says here we promulgate rules and regulations as provided by the Administrative Procedures Act to be followed by all county assessors to assure the use of appropriate statistical tests for assessed values of residential properties. And that's really what they have in rules. And when property owners seek relief in that appeal period, they have the opportunity to hear what the assessed or how the assessed value was specifically calculated for their property. The I guess the difference is that we don't have a set of a narrative prepared for all X number of taxpayers in the county just in case they come in, but we have it tailor-made just as they walk in. And that's another thing I guess I didn't cover very well, is that one of the things we did in the Senate File 144 process is we strengthened greatly the auditing responsibilities of the State Board of Equalization to assure that proper statistical tests were used, and not only that used for a given county, but it's uniform across counties, and that's I guess that's the best way I can explain it.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the good manager of the bill is also crossed out in some of this language is on line 7 and 8 is the connection between what the assessment process and practice is and the State Board of Equalization. So is in another place in current statute, how is the State Board of Equalization kept in that loop? Because they will be, in fact, the one that responds should there be a a concern by somebody not agreeing with their assessment, et cetera. So thank you at the convenient time if you would respond to that. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
If I understand the question right, this does not impact any part of the flow of appeals that you have available to you as a taxpayer. The Board of Equalization still looks at individual appeals and settles them, and if they don't settle them to your satisfaction, you have the district court you can go to. And I learned not too long ago you can even go to the Supreme Court. You know, it isn't likely that, you know, property owners like a household member would do it, but mineral companies might.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. So I was a little confused by this bill, and I stand in support of it. I went in and talked to our gal who handles these things at home, and she assured me that they are just compiling a report about this big at cost to the county through man hours, paper, all the stuff that goes with it. All of the information will be available to the public. It's just not, they're not going to put this huge report together. And I said, well, how many people have ever asked for this? And she said, none, ever. And they spend a lot of time compiling this. So it's just a reduction in paperwork and duplication, basically, because they can find any of this. It is available to the public. So I'm in full support of this bill. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
I'm going to speak against this bill. If you look at what this language does, it says to the county assessors that all it does now is to ensure that there's appropriate statistical test to assess values of residential properties against a statistical likelihood that any property in a stratum is overassessed. It's taking out all of the language that has to do with whether or not that. In other words, it's saying this, it's only talking about a statistical analysis. It has nothing to do, it's taking out whether or not that analysis or the underlying data was fair, whether or not the comparisons of fair market value are accurate, and in requiring the county assessors to justify and explain how they reached those fair market valuations. So there's nothing wrong with having language that requires that you use appropriate statistical tests. That's wonderful. But you're taking out some substantive components and obligations to ensure that the underlying data that you input into the statistical data is the appropriate data, and for the ability for someone to go in and read it and say, just because you got the numbers right doesn't mean you're talking about apples and the same thing. And so you're really taking out the guts of the obligation of the assessor in the methodology of calculation, not so much in whether or not you're using the proper math, but on what is fair and what's accurate in terms of the valuation process. So I think we're going down, I think by your explanation, an unintentional change to how we go about evaluating, making the actual valuation assessments.
Chairman Madden.
I guess all I can say is the rules that we're talking about that's being stricken in the top part of this page are the rules that guided the process of preparing this narrative for the county. And if the narrative is no longer required, we don't need the rules. And I'll further give you an example. If you start on line number 9 and read very carefully the sentence that starts with, the rule shall specifically address any adjustments made by a county assessor in input data to or assess values obtained from the county's computer-assisted mass appraisal system. Well, that can't be a rule. You can't write a rule that addresses any adjustments made by an assessor. And I guess that's about all I can do to help on that.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when a committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill number 8 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill number 8 has passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 16 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to administration of government, requiring state agencies to submit a contingency plan in the event of a reduction in federal funds received by the agency, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 16, Federal Funds Reduction Contingency Planning, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Reeder, Wilson. One no vote, Representative Madden, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation of Bill number 16 do pass. And there is no committee amendments, but there is Committee of the Whole amendments. I'll turn the explanation over to the sponsor of the bill.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. This is sponsored by one of the committee members and myself. As a clarification, as you can see on page 2, line 5, we insert or more right after 10%. And I think that's just a clarification. That's the intent of the legislation. And then you go down to page 2, line 10, delete only. And then the major part of this that I think is really the impetus behind this amendment and cleans up this bill quite a bit is on page 2, line 7, after a paragraph we insert, may include the reallocation of funds in the agency's budget. The purpose of that is specifically to say that their plan can include their own funds that exist within the agency. That way they can use all the resources available when creating their contingency plans, Mr. Chairman. And with that, I'll stand for questions about the amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of the Committee of the Whole amendment, number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Number 1 has passed. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it's all right with the chair, I'll go through the bill before we explain Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2, if that's all right.
That'll work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Federal Fund Contingency Planning, House Bill number 16. What this does, members of the 63rd, specifically, is it, as you can see on page 2, starting on line 4, is we create a plan for expenditure reduction in the event of a 10% or more, as adopted by this by the floor, in the amount of federal funding the agency receives during the biennium. Specifically, this original idea came from a citizen in the state of Wyoming, but it also came from another state. A state directly to the west of us adopted this via executive order several years ago, and it was further adopted by that same legislature because it was working so well. Wyoming's budget process is ranked one of the top in the United States, as I'm sure all the members on the floor have seen before. And this brings a level of transparency to even more heighten that and to bring a contingency plan forward for the JAC and for the governor so that when they're crafting their plan, they have an optional plan that has been brought forward by the agency. With that, I'll stand for questions on the bill and turn over the explanation of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 to House Bill 16 and ask for your favorable consideration. What I'm trying to do on this is you know that all the budgets for the state agencies need to be transparent on the governor's website and other websites, but my concern is asking the emergency plan to go up on the website. So if you're a state agency employee and you happen to see that your agent or your division of that particular agency is on the chopping block, I just think that it's going to create a can of worms and a lot of morale problems and questions of why are we there. And, you know, when it actually came down to brass tacks about cutting a particular section of that agency, it made change. So to ask them to continually put somebody on the chopping block, I agree with what the fine sponsor of this bill is trying to do, and I agree with it. But the part that I'd like to do is just keep it to the people that need to know about an emergency plan. And I hate to equate it with Homeland Security, but that's where I'll put it. So, you know, why create a beehive when we don't need one?
Discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mostly have a question for the bringer of the bill. Why is this the only contingency?
We're on to amendment.
Oh, my bad.
We're on the amendment. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does this preclude the legislature having access to the contingency plan?
Representative Swanser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, the legislature would have full access, and if one of the members of an agency really wanted to know, they could come in to a budget hearings, and you know, I would suggest that it would be some sort of handout. So, no, we're not totally keeping it secret, but I think just the people that need to know, that need the advance notice of what they might need to do, would be the ones that we want to have be able to see it.
Further discussion on amendment number 2? Question being called. All those in favor of the committee to hold amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by raising your hand, or standing, I'm sorry. Not raising, standing. Raising your body. There we go. You had an addition. Okay. All those against the amendment, please stand. Oh, 38 will work. All right, we're good. So we have a majority. Committee of the Whole number 2 has passed. Amendment number 2. Back on the bill. Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's mostly a question for the bringer of the bill. Are there other catastrophes that we should consider doing contingency planning for to add to this bill?
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I do believe that would fall out of the out of purview of this piece of current legislation. So if the bringer of the question wants to bring an amendment, we could possibly see if the body would adopt. Thank you.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in against the bill, unless the good bringer can convince me otherwise. Being new to appropriations, one of the things I noticed is that we get $1.8 billion in federal funds. Virtually every agency, every division within every agency, and virtually every unit includes some federal funding in it. I think we are asking agencies to do a tremendous amount of extra busy work, unless a one-liner that says, we'll decrease services by 10% suffices in terms of the contingency plan that the good representative is suggesting. But in general, this doesn't acknowledge the reality of how much we rely on federal funds, and as we should. Honestly, as we should. We pay money to the feds, we get that money back again, right? So I really don't understand what we're asking agencies to do other than busy work.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, in a time that we want agencies to be lean and mean and efficient, It just seems like what this bill does is just add another layer of reports. How many reports do we in the legislature receive and get that we never read? How many are sitting on the desks and the top flight? I guess just how many reports are not even looked at? And so I just I think, you know, I'm not necessarily against this bill yet, but I just wonder if we're not just creating bigger bureaucracies to do this work.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a co-sponsor on this bill, and I too am a new member of Appropriations and very much overwhelmed. And this bill is absolutely necessary because we have to stop and think. And just for the reasons that were expressed, all of the federal monies that are coming in, and everybody looks at it. And if I had a nickel for every time I heard it, I'd be wealthy. Because I heard it. Well, it's federal dollars, so it doesn't matter. It's federal dollars. It's going to fund this program. It's federal dollars. Just don't worry about it. Now I'm going to go home and sign my tax return, and I'll be thinking about those federal dollars here pretty shortly. But the fact of the matter is we've funded a lot of programs over the years with federal dollars, and then those federal dollars sometimes go away. And I felt this pain the last couple of months personally. Because I took a program and I cut a program that started out as federal dollars. And it went to state dollars when we had lots of money. And then we made hard decisions when we cut that program. And that affected some people. Wasn't easy to do. Trust me, it wasn't easy to do, but it's what we had to do. Now, there had been a plan in place like this, the good sponsor this bill's brought, that wouldn't have happened. We'd already been on top of that and not let that snowball. So I just ask you to consider this bill favorably, and I understand we don't want a lot of extra reports, but I'm telling you what, we got a plan. We got a plan to be self-sufficient, and we got a plan when some of these luxuries that go away. We have to plan for that.
Chairman Harshman.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Mr.
Leader today. Can't even remember, but thank you. Quickly, you know, the first thing when I saw the bill by the good representative from Cook County, I asked agencies, I said, what do you think of this? Is this busy work? And they said, and this was the reply I got. I said, no, we can do this. I said, this is not a bad exercise. And I think we're not talking about the whole highway department or the billions we get in federal dollars and health and all those things. I think we're talking about the $3.5 million for a literacy program that was funded for 7 years. Under No Child Left Behind 2009, it goes to the Community College Commission. We cut funding for that program on appropriations, and we're just, you know, there's no plan. And it's so we're going to all hear about it, and it'll be a big debate on here. And I don't think it's a bad exercise. I was a little bit, I'm like, okay, busy work. But after talking to agencies who put these budgets, I don't get that sense. I think it'd be a good plan. Thank you.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm against the bill. I did 4 years on revenue, and I did 4 years on appropriations, too. And, you know, now I'm starting to look at places in our budget and some of our tax laws, and even going all the way back to Tax Reform 2000. And probably not many of us were around here except Yeager. And so we're going to have to start tightening our belts, I realize that. But when we start getting into these federal funds, my initial thoughts are, let's not take any federal funds, you know, and then see what happens to these budgets. You know, and if we had a downstairs in this building, the man downstairs, I know what he'd say. So the man downstairs at the building we left, that we're, you know, so... Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox, but, you know, some of these bills, you know, there's revenue out there that we can capture. We just have to change some of the ways we're doing things. And...
Representative Lindholm, do you want to get on your soapbox?
Just real quick, Mr. Chairman, and I just want to remind everybody that this doesn't limit any federal funds. It doesn't say you can't take any federal funds or anything like that. It just calls for a plan to be in place if those federal funds happen to disappear. It's happened already once this year. It's going to happen again. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll stand for the vote, hopefully.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to support it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 16 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill number 16 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Northrup. I would like to add to the general file House Bill 10 and House Bill 28.
The next bill for your consideration will be House Bill number 10. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 10 from Minerals, an act relating to the State Water Pollution Control Revolving Loan Account, specifying projects authorized to receive loans from the account, providing for the assessment of administrative fees as specified, modifying loan amounts, providing for payments from the corrective action account to the State Water Pollution Control Revolving Loan Account as specified, providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 10, Clean Water Revolving Fund Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters. One excuse, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Kasparik.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recommend that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 10 do pass. And for further explanation of the bill, I'll turn it over to the good representative from center of the state.
Representative Cleanwater Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, House Bill 10 is before us to make updates to the federal changes to the Federal Water Pollution Control Act. And to help you understand that just a little bit, you need these funds are created by Congress with the Clean Water Act, and they're given to the state as grants to be used by the state to create an account that will allow them to make loans back to political subdivisions for projects to mitigate water pollution projects that qualify under the federal guidelines. The political subdivisions are then required to pay back the loan with interest to replenish the fund in order to make additional loans. The intent is that at some point after the fund has been built up, the federal funds would go away and the fund as administered by the State Land Investment Board would remain whole as loans are repaid. So what's happened here is there's been some changes in this in the federal regulations. The Federal Water Pollution Control Act was amended this year, requiring some changes in our statute governing the state revolving fund. There are now 8 new project eligibilities that have been added to the original 3. So on page 2, line 10, in 16.1.205A, we're adding a Romanent 3, stating that other projects as allowed by new eligibilities can be funded. Then federal guidelines now also allow for the life of the loans to be increased from 20 years to 30 years or the useful life of the project, whichever is less. So we take care of that on page 2, line 20. In 16.1.205B, Romanent I, large capital C, where we make that change in language to make that possible. Regulations were changed, which allowed two new options for calculating the funds from the grant that can be used for the administration of the funds. Currently, the state Land Investment Board can take up to 4% of the annual grant that we receive from the federal government for administration. These administrative funds are put into a separate account for that purpose. The agency can, with the new options, continue to take up to 4% of the new grant, or they can now just take a flat $400,000 from the account, or take 0.2% of the valuation of the total account, whichever amount is greater. We make that change into the statutes on page 3, on the top of the page, on 16.1.205c. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the intent is that there will come a point when the federal dollars will stop, but with the repayment of the loan, the Clean Water State Revolving Fund will have a corpus that allows for continued loans. To accomplish this, the loans need to be made with reasonable administrative fees as part of the loan.
This is a requirement by the federal regulations, but it's one that we don't have currently in our statutes. This keeps coming up on the audit, so we're making that change, and we're adding that language in 16.1.205, where we create a new D and insert the language to outline the conditions of administrative fee, which cannot exceed 1% of the loan amount. And then on to just a little bit different subject on page 4. Loans are made from the State Water Pollution Revolving Fund for leaking underground and above ground storage tanks. And you'll recall last year that we made a statute change in that said that those funds could also be used for landfill remediation. Those loans from the revolving fund have to be paid back from the corrective action account. So last year when we passed that legislation allowing for funds from the corrective action account to be used for the landfill remediation, we overlooked the need to have to require those funds to be repaid back to the State Water Pollution Revolving Fund. So we inserted that language on page 4 in 16.1.207. Members of the House, that's House Bill 10 in a nutshell. I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions to the good bringer. On page 3 on D, given your explanation that we really do need to do this, I'm curious about the use of the term may rather than shall, is my first question. And then I'm curious about the 1%. How did the committee come up with that, and is that the correct figure?
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. or Mr. Chairman. This language was part of the federal regulation recommendation. May is important because if you recall back on page 3 at the top of the page, we talk about how they can assess up to 4% or $400,000 or 0.2% for administrative fees. So if those fees are adequate to fund administration of the account, they would not need to assess the fees that we're talking about there at the bottom on page 3 in the new D. The 1% was a maximum that the feds allow for the conditions of receiving the federal funds.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Kasparek's, thank you, Kasparek's motion that when a committee of the whole rises to report that it do so the recommendation that House Bill number 10 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those against, say no. House Bill number 10 is passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 28, Minerals, an act relating to the Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Cease and Transfer Program, providing for the issuance of grants and loans for the total project cost under the program as specified, creating additional requirements for grants and loans above 75% of the total project cost as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 28, Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Edmonds, Kasparek, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, Walters, those excused, Representative Gay, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Kasparek?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 28 do pass. And for further explanation of the bill, I'll turn it over to the good representative up front.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the House, you'll recall over the last those of you that have been here over the last several sessions, we continually talk about we changed statutes governing remediation of our landfills and the cease and transfer stations that we are funding to get control of potential leaking problems of our landfills into groundwater. We have kind of moved to the idea that we would close all landfills that aren't lined, and we would move to cease and transfer stations that would then deliver our trash to regional landfills. And so in order to do that, we implemented a program, and we've had to tweak that a little bit each year. And currently, as statutes have, we help out those solid waste districts on their cease and transfer funding. We will grant or loan up to 75% of the costs. The remaining 25% are the responsibility of that municipal solid waste district or that solid waste district. And then each year we develop a priority list that, and you'll see it this year, we have a priority list of all of those landfills around the state that will receive the funding to do these cease and transfer stations, allow them to deliver municipal solid waste to a regional landfill. One of the criteria in moving up on that priority list is that you have the funding available to meet your responsibility for that 25%. And what we are hearing back is that we have several of the counties around the state who are less populated, don't have a large industry base, that really struggle, and in fact may not even be able to meet that obligation of 25%, and they're stuck in that position, so they can't move up that priority list, and we just continue to have that problem. Now, my understanding from those that have been involved in trash longer than I have is that originally when we developed these statutes, there was some talk about, instead of having a 75% grant and loan, that it could be a greater proportion of that. We initially adopted the 25%. We drove that car around the block a few times and found out that it's not meeting the needs. We can't get all the kids in, and so we're going to have to get something a little different. And so what we've come back in this interim study, and after visiting with county commissioners and landfill representatives and the Department of Environmental Quality, we are recommending that we make a change that will allow, after review from the Department of Environmental Quality, that Director of Environmental Quality may recommend to the State Loan and Investment Board funding that grants and loans may be made up to 100% of the total cost for the cease and transfer activities for that municipal solid waste facility. We've heard testimony. We talked about several ways to do that. Do we make it proportionate to the population? We found some problems there. Couldn't do that. We had the State Land Investment Board people there, and they said that they scrutinized that very closely to make sure that, as does the DEQ, the department that oversees it, they've looked at any additional funding sources that would be reasonably available, and we make that a requirement here, and to also make sure that the tipping fees into their landfill are covering the operational costs of the transfer facility that would be constructed. And so there's very close scrutiny. There has been some concern would then all landfills want to apply for this? Well, maybe, but the scrutiny there is not going to allow that to happen. When we heard from the director, he indicated that there were probably six to seven that may qualify for that in the current priority list. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the House, that is House 28, or that's House Bill 28 in a nutshell, and I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I applaud the work, and I agree that the grant and loan program should be up to 100%. Where I have a bit of a concern is this language allows for 100% grant. And so, you know, through the history of this and some of the initial discussion is we were looking at a blend of 75% grant or up to 75% of a grant, 25% loan, trying to make that available so that there was a potential for 100% funding. When the legislation came out, we didn't quite get there. So I'm happy to see this amendment to allow 100% coverage. However, I just don't know how comfortable I am with the possibility of 100% grant. I think that we could go 100% of the cost of the activities with a grant up to 75%. And again, if a district or a landfill is not able to come up with the revenue to cover 25% of the cost in the form of a low-interest loan, they're going to have no success then in being able to continue with the ongoing activities. And that is the cost of closing the landfill, the cost of shipping and transferring the solid waste, the cost of paying for someone to receive the solid waste and replacement costs and all the infrastructure and vehicles to do that. So I want us to pass this bill right now, but I want to also think about this component just a little bit more. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 63rd, I'm on and for this piece of legislation. The good committee put in a lot of work, and they really took turned their ear to a lot of the smaller communities that we don't exactly have a robust funding stream. We don't have a rail yard coming in into my corner of the state that's where we can make a lot of sales tax off of. We don't have pretty much our only sales tax is non-existent now. As of a couple of years ago. But so this makes it exceptionally hard when we're talking about cease and transfer. You're talking about closing a landfill. That is, by DEQ standards, it's an impossibility for the five municipalities that I cover up in my area. And out of those five municipalities, can you guess how many have a landfill? Five. All five landfills. So it's really a high burden to climb, and it's an impossibility at this point in the game. And I really respect what the Minerals Committee has done. It's made it a possibility for us, and it's made something that we can actually move forward with and complete this landfill situation. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not quite that tall. I had to take a moment to push that down. I think we have some really good checks and balances in this bill, and in that we have a DEQ that's going to review the project, review the ability of a community to pay back, and then ultimately you have a SLIP board that's going to take a look at that, and they're going to make a decision. The five electeds will make a decision whether, you know, the money's there, whether that's, you know, whether the claim is valid by the town. And I think the other really good check in this whole deal is that you still have to have the correct tipping fees to pay for the operations of that landfill. So I think we do have some really good checks and balances. You know, if we need more, I think we're certainly willing to listen to that. But there are good checks and balances. You have to remember, there are counties and communities that really are having a struggle with this. And we were told there were about 5 to 7 communities that this really may apply to. That's not to say that there won't be a lot of applicants. You never know. But hopefully we have the checks and balances in place.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just respond a little bit to the good representative from the land of great sugar cooperatives, is that in our discussion, we talked, we had some concern that the counties do need to have some vested interest in this. Loans are that. And we hear what you're saying. And so we had that conversation, frankly, with the department that oversees that, as well as the State Land Investment Board people, on how that process how they seen that moving forward. And they left us feeling comfortable that we would be careful to avoid that 100% grant in realizing that it's there. But just to let you know that we did have that conversation and actually had some language that addressed that. So We'd like to see this bill move forward, and if we give you time to ponder that and maybe tweak that if we need to. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd answer any other questions or
further discussion on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Casper or Vice Chairman Kasparyk's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 28 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. House Bill 28 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor, Leader Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begged to leave to report as follows. House Bill 66, recommended do pass. House Bill 32, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 38. Recommended do pass, that's on 38. House Bill 2, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 67, recommended do pass. House Bill 8, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 16, amended and recommended do pass. House Bill 10, recommended do pass. House Bill 28, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Northrop, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Standing committee reports. Madam, can we do standing committee reports first?
Yes, I'm sorry. House Bill 14, Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 14, Asset Forfeiture 3. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Halverson, Croker, Miller, Pelkey, Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Escobel, Crone, and Pinnell. Signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 62, Wyoming Money Transmitter Act, Digital Currency Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, and Winters. One no vote, Representative Pinnell, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
Committee reports. Announcements. That's what I meant. Committee announcements. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to announce to the members of the Revenue Committee that House Joint Resolution Number 3, which was scheduled last, is not going to be heard tomorrow morning because of time constraints. So you might tell people that are coming to testify on that that we're not going to have it on Friday. It's going to be Monday.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number four, Education, will meet Friday at noon recess to discuss House Bill 73. House Bill 87 will be in Jonah H-38. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Your House Committee number two, Appropriations, will meet at 9 a.m. to consider two bills, House Bill 85, Medical Education Funding, and House Bill 113, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities, and any re-referred bills as time allows. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your number 12, Committee number 12, Rules. We'll be meeting 10 minutes upon adjournment in L-54. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Minerals Committee number 9 will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 12th at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room H-37 to hear the following bills. House Bill 47, Refugee Resettlement Plan Accountability, and House Bill 82, Termination of Employment, Wages, Time Limit.
By Chairman Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee, Transportation Number 8, will meet today, 10 minutes after adjournment, Jonah Room H-37, to look at House Bill 49, Abandoned Vehicles 2.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow after 10 minutes after the noon recess in room H-37, where we will hear House Bill 57, Upper Payment Limit Program for Private Hospitals, and House Bill 74, Upper Payment Limit Program for Public Nursing Homes.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting tomorrow morning, February 12th at 8 a.m. in room H-38 to consider House Joint Resolution number 2, Kenny Sailor's Naismith Hall of Fame, House Joint Resolution 4, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears, and House Bill 17, Shed Antlers and Horns.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
So, members, you've just received a small token from the Optometric Association. Now, while I'm sure you can find a lot of uses for this, stress relief, etc., the appropriate use is to mount your digital device so it can be easily viewed from your vantage point. Ah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Representative Barlow. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The Standing Committee for Rules, number 12, will meet upon adjournment today in room L-54 for us to consider House Rule 1, 2, and Joint Rule 1 amendments. And for tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, the general file, well, I should remind you first, that we have a long introduction list for tomorrow. And then after that, we'll have a second and third reading, and then we'll have general file. And right now, your general file consists of 39, 36, 46, 9, 59, 60, 63, 41, 62, and 14. That's Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm not thinking you're going home tomorrow, so it'll be a busy day. What? And then the other thing, Mr. Speaker, I would like to have privilege of the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have received a 2016 Governor's Prayer Breakfast invitation for February 24th. There's a suggested contribution, and if you want to, I can make it convenient. If you would like to sign up, I'm certainly glad to get those checks to the governor's office for you. It will be at the main hotel we've been using at 7 a.m. on the 24th of February. I think it'll be quite exciting. The speaker this year is Echo Klaproth. She's fourth generation Wyoming rancher, and she's a poet. She's also a minister, and I really appreciate one of her lines, which is, because I think it's appropriate to us, keep it real, write with integrity, and never give up, because you don't know where a few words might take you. And with that, Mr. Speaker, pro tem, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, February 12th.
And before we consider that motion, just one quick reminder to the floor that if you have bill jackets that you have not signed and returned to the chief clerk, you need to get that done immediately so they're available to be heard tomorrow on introduction. So the motion is to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We will stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.